You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
17th century artist Nicolas Poussin is best known as the founder of the French classical historic painting tradition, but he was also a prolific painter of landscapes. A collection of Poussin's landscapes is currently on display at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in an exhibition called Poussin and Nature, Arcadian Visions. And you have to get to the Met soon, though, because the show closes on May 11th. It is my great pleasure to welcome back to this show Keith Christensen, Jane Reitzman, curator of European painting at the Metropolitan Museum. It's always a pleasure to see you.
It's great to see you guys.
Is this the first exhibit solely dedicated to showcasing Poussin's landscapes?
It is. It's also, remarkably enough, given the fact that the Met has a very beautiful collection of Poussin's paintings, the first exhibition by Poussin New York. Long overdue for an artist of his stature.
I was taught that Poussin specialized in history paintings, while his younger contemporary, Claude Lorraine, was the master of the landscape. Did my college art history teachers get it wrong?
I think they got it right, but you know that the dynamic between these two Frenchmen living in Rome, one who arrives as a painter, the other, Claude Lorraine, arrives as a pastry cook, you remember.
And he's younger. He's 10 years younger.
He's 10 years younger. They were neighbors, and they were lifelong friends. Our last notice of Poussin is of Claude stopping by the house to take a glass of wine with his old friend. And they must have reminisced about going together out into the Roman countryside to draw from nature. But from the outset, Claude was a dedicated landscape painter. Poussin aspired to what was then thought to be the higher realm of art, figurative painting. And it's only in mid-career that landscape looms as a major concern of his.
But I wonder if one of the reasons it's taken so long to have a show like this is that narrative is a determining factor in how an artist's work is perceived and exhibited. And we have the story about Poussin being a certain kind of artist and Claude being another one.
I think that's very possible. You know, in 94, 95, there was a big exhibition of Poussin's work in Paris and in London. I always regretted, because I'm a huge fan of this artist, that he didn't get full treatment at the Metropolitan, that after the gigantic monographic exhibition in Paris and London, we couldn't do one. Then I thought, but you know, there's one aspect of his work that hasn't gotten studied, given isolated treatment, and that's landscape.
Now, it's just a coincidence, I'm told, but the Met has three exhibits of artists who really set in motion major changes in the art of their time. Poussin, Gustave Courbet, and Jasper Johns. Yeah. Is this just coincidence?
Isn't it fantastic? And the biggest coincidence of all is that one should have Courbet and Poussin, who one might say are the two poles of French painting. The realist, the idealist, a man looking to the past, another bent on the future, politically engaged, the other an observer. It's fantastic. And also, in Jasper Johns, an artist who, like Poussin, valued thought and the way thought can be transformed into images. It's pretty remarkable.
So do we have to understand what Poussin was thinking to understand these paintings? I know we've talked earlier about reading Renaissance paintings, and modern museum goers, unless they are art historians, will not know the significance of a rabbit in a painting, although at the time, I guess during the Renaissance, you would have known that meant it was early morning or something like that, or a lilac or a lily. They all had all sorts of special meanings that we just see as, oh, she's holding a flower today.
Well, let's put it this way. Poussin was an incredibly intelligent painter.
Some people said too intellectual,
Too intellectual. He had also extraordinarily intelligent patrons, and he was one of the first artists who actually removed himself from the public arena to paint for people who saw and understood what he was doing and could appreciate what he was doing. He has become, in a sense, the captive of academic scholarship. Nobody who works on Poussin doesn't have this extraordinary intellectual curiosity. But to treat him exclusively in these terms is to miss one of the most beautifully and rich visual artists who has ever lived. And it's why his paintings have resonated so greatly among painters of the widest spectrum. I mean, it's just quite extraordinary to think of both Constable and Turner responding to Poussin. That gives you two sides of an equation, no? So there's something there beyond the intellectual component. So I think there's something for everybody.
But he generally is described as one of the, if not the key figure in the development of the French classical style, a break with the Baroque. Was it that clear at the time?
I think it was pretty clear.
Absolutely. So he'd make a conscious attempt to not be like the other artists of the time.
Yeah. You know, the turning point comes in 1628. He has a commission to do a great altarpiece in St. Peter's, one of only two French artists asked to do this. It goes through the normal public scrutiny. Some people support it. Others find things to criticize in it. And it's at this point, right when he's on the brink of huge public success, that he removes himself from the public sphere, doesn't want anything to do with Baroque decoration and so forth, and constructs instead a different identity for himself. So he personally removes himself from the whole public dynamic and Baroque artists.
And develops theories of art and how a painting should be constructed.
Well, you know, he had such interesting friends. One of his mainstays in Rome is a person named Cassiano del Pozzo, interested in the natural sciences, a friend of Galileo, also an antiquarian, in touch with virtually the whole of the intellectual world of Europe in the 17th century. On the other hand, the Barberini, and then he carries on a correspondence with people back in Paris. So you have somebody who creates a network of a specific type of person.
Was he painting at the same time Caravaggio was painting in Italy?
He picks up the brush about 14 years after Caravaggio's death, and of course Poussin did not like Caravaggio.
But the 17th century is this amazing century which gives us more great artists, I think, than practically any other century other than maybe the 19th.
I think so too. I always say the 1590s was a great decade to be born in. And of course, for an artist, one of the key things is to be born at the right time. But the number of artists born in the 1590s, from Velazquez and Bernini to Poussin, is just
Rembrandt,
extraordinary.
Vermeer,
it's just amazing.
Caravaggio.
It's just amazing.
My guest is Keith Christensen, who is the Jane Reitzman Curator of European Painting at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and the man behind their latest amazing show called Poussin and Nature. By the way, we have a slideshow of some of the most fabulous paintings in the exhibit on our show page at WNYC.org. So can you describe Poussin's approach to landscape for us? Because there are always figures in these landscapes. What are they, landscapes first, or are the landscapes there to say something about the figures?
I think the landscapes are there to say something about life. And this is the really extraordinary thing, is in these landscapes, with their classical subjects introduced, and the classical subjects are sort of a key to a theme that he's dealing with. The themes are generally the cycles of nature, the cycles of life, the way in which man fits into nature, and frequently the insignificance of even the greatest actions of a person, the transience of life. His view of nature is predicated both on his reading of classical poetry and his desire to give to landscape a poetic existence apart from its real vision. But on the other side, from these trips that I mentioned he takes out into the Roman countryside, his love of visual experience, but always transformed by a poetic imagination into a vision.
So he wasn't a plein air painter. He wasn't somebody who went out and painted the painting from nature.
No.
He did drawings.
He did drawings, and of course he wasn't a gifted draftsman. He shared this with Cézanne. Not a gifted draftsman. He creates a kind of drawing that gets him where he wants to go. He goes out in the landscape, and we have several drawings of sketchbooks that he does out there, but you would never arrive at the finished landscapes from these very quick sketches.
And Cézanne loved Poussin.
Cézanne, like Matisse, like Balthus, set up his easel in the Louvre in front of paintings by Poussin, and is said to have famously said his project was to do Poussin again from nature.
Well, the show talks about Acadian visions, but there's a quote from Denis Diderot which really struck me because of the darkness of some of these paintings. He says, "When it pleases him, this one knows how to interject fear and trembling into the middle of a rustic scene." Yeah. Some of these paintings are really, they're about death. They're very philosophical.
That's right. In the particular picture that Diderot is referring to, we have a wonderful Arcadian landscape, great calm, body of water in the middle, reflecting the buildings around it. It's a typical device of Poussin. And then in the foreground, a scene of a man who has been killed by a giant python and figures responding to their sight of this.
There, many of the essays touch upon the Four Seasons paintings. You have two of them mm-hmm. in the show, Spring and Summer. Now, why are they especially significant?
Many people had done paintings of the seasons, and in fact, the Met has one of the great pictures of the seasons by Bruegel of Summer, and it's marvelous to be able to compare these two. But nobody had invested them with the rich layers of meaning that Poussin did. He chooses four biblical stories, the four times of day, four seasons, weather, skies, and transforms then the subject into a rich parable of nature and life.
And was that his way of going about work? Was it the theory or the story that he wanted to tell first, and then he figured out a way of telling, of depicting it visually?
You know, Leonard, I think that there were above all themes. Themes of the way he felt man related to nature, of nature's appearances, the way in which poetry has reflected on nature, and each subject that he took up became part of a theme.
Now, how much do we know about him as a person, and how much do we know about him as a person because of the paintings?
Would you believe that we know more about Poussin than any other artist with the possible old master, with the possible exception of Michelangelo? And this is because not only do we have four biographies written by men who knew him, but we have over 100 letters of Poussin directed back to one of his major patrons in Paris.
So the fact that he had four biographies would suggest that people thought he was a pretty important artist at the time.
There was no question. He was one of the most famous artists. And the remarkable thing is that somebody like Bernini should have recognized this. We would have thought Bernini would have been the last person
to admire Poussin. Because he was so Baroque.
He's so Baroque. But in fact, when he goes to Paris and is shown a number of Poussin's paintings, he is completely bowled over and tells their owner, "You must never sell these."
So why do you think, I mean, Poussin has never gone totally out of favor, but he sure hasn't been held in that kind of high esteem, except by Cézanne and a few others.
His work takes time. It takes engagement. It's demanding in the sense that you don't look at it, recognize the site that's painted as you do in a Canaletto. Oh, right, Piazza San Marco, I've been there. Remember the time, the meal that we had? That's not the kinds of thoughts Poussin's after, the kinds of associations he's after. They're real pictures that demand the kind of engagement you give to, for example, a Jasper Johns, to mention another exhibition at the Met. I've been very interested to see that the number of viewers to Jasper Johns is about the same to Poussin. These are two artists who didn't seek popularity. They sought instead to do something that they were committed to. And so you have an artist of real commitment.
Now, you said that a number of these paintings are actually owned by the Met?
Only one landscape. We have one of the great late landscapes of Poussin, which was one of the reasons I thought this was a proper exhibition for the Met to do. The bulk of them otherwise come from all over the world, but a great concentration from the Louvre.
And is this it, or is this going to travel?
This is it. It's the only chance to see.
Two. Well, thank you so much for coming by to talk about it. It's an extraordinarily beautiful exhibit and a rare opportunity for people who don't know enough about Poussin. I assume that's pretty much everybody, but it's serious art people.
It's always a pleasure, Leonard.
Poussin and Nature, Arcadian Visions, is at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, but you have to go soon because it's closing on May 11th. My great thanks to Keith Christensen, who's the Jane Reitzman Curator of European Painting at the museum, for coming by again.
Thank you, Leonard.